Hello, Miner fans. Welcome once again, and thanks for tuning in to another Picks Up podcast, exploring the sports, stories, issues, and personalities associated with UTEP athletics. I'm John Teicher. Miner volleyball has been the big story for UTEP athletics early on in the 2021 season. Miners opened by winning all three matches at the Idaho State Bengal Invitational, taking their first such tournament title in 10 years. Next, at the Borderland Invitational, UTEP truly outdid themselves, taking down Power 5 programs Arizona and Northwestern within a matter of hours. That's the first in program history. 2 days later, the Miners conquered rival New Mexico State for the first time since 2012 to capture another tourney championship. At the Portland State Tournament, after falling for the first time to Grand Canyon, the Miners bounced back with decisive wins over Portland and host Portland State. At 8-1, UTEP had equaled the best start to a season through nine matches in the history of the program. And then most recently, the Miners took 2 of 3 at the Texas A&M Corpus Christi Islanders Classic. One of the hallmarks of this UTEP volleyball squad is the leadership of a strong senior class that includes three-year letter winners, setter Kristen Fritchie and outside hitter Serena Patterson, plus outside hitter Paulina Perez-Rosas and libero Hula Crisostomo. Fritchie joins me to talk about the Miners and their fantastic start. And Kristen, first of all, thank you for taking the time to talk UTEP volleyball.
Yeah, and thank you for having me.
I think the entire volleyball world outside of the Miners themselves seem to be surprised by UTEP's start to the season, but I take it that you and your teammates might have expected this.
Yeah, I mean, we came in this season knowing that we were good. We had a lot of great players and good culture, and we knew, like, right from the start that we were going to be a big threat.
To what do you attribute the fast getaway?
I would just say all of our like desire to win and like really get out there. All of us are hungry, especially after last season, getting that first conference tournament win. Like, we're all hungry for more.
In particular, the Borderland Invitational, as I mentioned, the back-to-back wins within a matter of hours over the two Power 5 programs. And then, of course, New Mexico State 2 days later, that had to be hugely satisfying.
Oh, that was awesome. The whole day that we played two matches was kind of a blur, honestly. I mean, we played a five-setter and turned around and a couple hours played again. And we just were like lights out from right away. We knew that we were good. And especially on our home floor, it was time to show El Paso like what's really going on. And then beating New Mexico State, that was a big win for a lot of us, especially because we had not beat them in a lot of years.
In fact, that was the first time I think you'd beaten the Aggies since you'd been a part of the UTEP program. What was that feeling in particular?
It was awesome. The crowd was great. And just our coach, obviously, Ben Wallace, you know, really wanted that win. And so there was a lot of pressure going up to that game. We like all took a deep breath after, and we were like, yeah, we did that, you know.
Memorial Gym always is known as a fun place to play. Was it even more so that afternoon against the Aggies?
Oh yes, the environment was crazy. All the fans, it was pretty packed in there. It was probably the most packed I've seen it in a long time.
And for you, individual honors. You were named a co-setter of the week in Conference USA following the first weekend of play, the first minor setter that's been so honored since 2015. What did that recognition mean to you?
It meant a lot. As a 6-2 setter, where I only play half the time in the back row, you know, I don't always have the big assist numbers be like the setters who set a 5-1. And so you kind of fall like aren't always on the radar. And so it was really nice to feel recognized for like the hard work that I do. And it was awesome.
And you probably don't talk about this a whole lot, but you're not playing at full strength, are you? Talk about what you're dealing with.
So last season at the conference tournament, I tore my labrum in my right shoulder. So it's like the lining around the joint is completely torn, and so it's kind of like loose in there. So it doesn't really affect setting at all, which is why I decided to play my senior year, and I'll get surgery after season. But serving is a challenge, and I take multiple days off just to serve in the matches.
What about practice? Do you go full go each and every day during the week at practice, or do they give you a little time off there too, just because of what you're dealing with?
I definitely take off serving. I'm full go setting, defense, all that stuff. But serving, I won't serve at all, or I'll take less reps or only serve short. Just ways where I can still, you know, build the skill, but take care of myself to last until December.
You know, you've been on quite the journey since arriving at UTEP back in 2018. How would you characterize the road between then and now?
It was tough. I mean, it was a full-on grind, and coming in like 2018, where like the whole team was different, like the culture, the coaching staff. And as soon as Coach Ben and Nick got here, it was like a complete 180. Like, we went in the opposite direction, and I knew that I wanted to be a leader on this team. So that made my road extra difficult, trying to get everybody on the same page and to high to the expectation of the coaches. So it was a long, tough and grind of a journey, but you know, we got here and I couldn't be more happy.
Does it make you more appreciative of where the Miners are now?
Oh yes. I am so thankful that we're here and we've made it this far and we're still growing. I mean, there's still more to come from us.
You know, I hate to bring back bad memories, but that first year the Miners won only 5 matches. That couldn't have been any fun.
No, it wasn't. When I chose to come here, I am originally from Los Angeles, California, and I just kind of wanted to get out of the bubble that is LA and California. And I knew I was going to play right away because their setter, one graduated and one just quit. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go play at a D1 school. This is awesome. And it was less awesome because we didn't win very much. And, I am very blessed and thankful that, you know, Ben came in and we became a winning program.
During that first season, did you ever second guess the choice that you had made to come here?
Of course, like when things aren't going well, it's easy to say like, oh, maybe I should have chosen something else. But I really like it here in El Paso, and I was going to embrace the journey, and I knew things weren't going to be good right away. But you know, I was okay with my decision.
What was it specifically about El Paso and UTEP that appealed to that Southern California native in you?
It's more of like a smaller like town than LA. LA is very crowded and busy, and El Paso has a really nice hometown feel. And I did like the girls on the team at the time. They were really nice and welcoming, and just the campus is beautiful. Of course, I loved that.
Does El Paso feel like home?
It does. I mistake it for like, oh, when I go back home, you know, when I'm in LA and talking to my family there, and they're like, oh, your home's here. But yeah, it does. It feels really nice here, and I'm more comfortable, used to the environment. It's great.
What were maybe some other possibilities as far as schools for you before you chose UTEP? Was there anyone else that you seriously considered?
I was honestly seriously considering more Division II schools since I am a smaller setter. And then I had some up in Washington, but El Paso was, I knew I was going to play right away, and I just wanted that college experience, and that's what I wanted to do.
All right, and as you mentioned, shortly after that first nightmare of a season ended, the coaching change was made. Ben Wallace was brought in, energetic, extremely outgoing. When he was hired, what was your initial reaction, and What was your reaction about regarding your ability to perhaps fit or not fit in his system?
When I first heard the news, of course, I was excited. And then that first practice, I think it was about, I don't know, 6 or 7 in the morning, because we practiced really early that first semester. He came in, all the coaches, you know, yelling and like, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. And I was very intimidated, I'm not going to lie. But I've never backed down from a challenge in volleyball, and I saw it as an opportunity to rise. It was really difficult. I was taking in so much information. So my setting struggled in the first semester that he was here, because I was just trying to learn so much. And then in 2019, like that fall season, it clicked and I started to really get it, and things worked out.
His personality can be intimidating, can it?
A little bit, yeah, especially if you're not used to it.
How do you take him now? When all that, when he goes on one of his journeys, how do you deal with him now?
Coach Ben and I have a good relationship. You know, I can kind of, I know when like he's about to, like his meter's going up a little bit, if he's angry at practice, or I know when it's okay, like time to relax, we can have some fun. And you know, we talk and communicate really well about stuff that we want, and it's much better than it was in that first semester.
At this point, could you imagine playing for anybody else?
No, I don't know. I don't know where else I'd be. I'm happy to be here.
You know, when I talk with him about you, he is very, very effusive in his praise of your intangibles, calling you the best setter he's coached in terms of intellect and intuition. When you hear that, what's your reaction?
It makes me feel good. I mean, I would like, I don't like to say like, oh, I am the best setter, but I like to think I'm one of the smarter setters, and I really take my volleyball IQ seriously, because that's what's going to get me on the floor. And it's nice to know that Ben sees that and appreciates that.
I think you'd agree that so much of success in whatever you do, and certainly in the challenging sport of volleyball, particularly at this level and the higher you go, has to do with confidence. Talk about your confidence level and how it's grown since you've been here at UTEP.
As the years have gone on, like I've learned so much, and I feel more confident when I feel prepared and like I know the answers. And so that first year in 2019, when we're still learning, like games were up and down, because we lacked confidence, because we lacked the knowledge and the preparation. And now I'm very confident when I step out on that court. I'm very confident to be a leader for this team, because I have experience, I know what's going on, and I know what's expected of me. And yeah, so my confidence has grown a lot.
Yeah, speaking of confidence and preparation, it's my understanding that you watch a great deal of video. How does that help you, and how much video do you watch?
I watch probably a little bit more than I would like to admit. More than I should be doing on my schoolwork, probably. but I, like I said, like I like to be prepared and I like to know what's coming. And I mean, volleyball is not black and white, like it changes and, you know, you have to learn to adapt, but I like to know everything that's going to be coming at me. And I watch the other team's blockers and their tendencies. So if in the game, like it's stressful or we're not doing well, like I know what I need to do. And I just default back to that. Like I default back to what I've learned and what I saw without even having to think about it.
I think you ought to get some class credit for watching all that video. What do you think?
I should. It should be my own course. I'd have lots of credits.
Going back to leadership, Coach Wallace also mentioned to me that those skills for you have done a 180 since he joined the program. He referred to your leadership skills as next level. What allowed those skills to develop?
To develop, let's see. I just, it all comes back to confidence, really. I mean, and I was only a sophomore in 2019. And so, you know, I was still a young underclassman and Ben was taking over the program and I was a little quiet. Like I knew that I wanted to do like what coach wanted, but I was still a little quiet about it. And I kind of worked a lot with Coach Andrea Beatty, and she helped me with my confidence and how to really be a leader on the team. And I just started to get louder, more stern, more, and I got to know the girls a lot better, like individually, which really helped, like to get to talk to people on an individual level. And it helps, like when you build those relationships, to be able to be a leader and keep them in check, but also know that I still love you. I still have your back. Like we're still family. And so getting to know the girls actually was the biggest growth or the biggest step I took in my leadership skills.
Did you had to get out of your comfort zone to become the leader that you are?
Oh yes. It was very uncomfortable. it was difficult, but ultimately worth it just to get here.
You know, last season due to COVID was one that extended from the first semester into the second. How challenging was everything that took place last year, and how much more fun are you having right now?
I'm having a lot more fun without the looming threat of a quarantine every week, because man, in the fall of 2020, we were pretty good. None of us really got sick and we didn't have to quarantine and we played all our games and it was awesome. And then in the spring, I think we were quarantined like every other week. And so not practicing at all to, oh, now we have to go play two conference matches was really, really tough and taxing on the body to go from 0 to 100 back and forth. And now, you know, it's more of like steady. We can have an actual season. Obviously, you know, there's still a possibility of getting sick, but I think we're more safe about it and we understand what's going on. And it is a lot more relaxing knowing that we can just play our season and not have any outside factors affect us too much.
What about just being a college student last year? I can't even imagine what a challenge that was. Most of your classes, maybe all of them, were virtual, online. Did you feel much like even a college student last year?
Not really. I mean, volleyball helped because I would still go to campus every day and see some people, but it was hard, like just to stay in my apartment all the time. And a lot of my classes were online and they didn't even meet on Zoom. So I didn't really speak to anybody about anything, which was kind of hard, but now it's awesome. I have a couple in-person classes and I enjoy interacting with the students and the teachers, but it was difficult. And now, you know, we can actually go to other sporting events. This weekend, we're going to go to a women's soccer game as a team and go support them, which we couldn't really do last season.
You mentioned advancing in the Conference USA tournament last year, the minors, first time they'd done that since 2008. So I'd imagine that one of the things you're looking to do this year is to go even farther.
Oh yes. We have that conference championship, you know, on our minds, 100%, because we don't want to stay the same, right? We have to keep improving and everybody's hungry to do it.
What's it like to do all these things that UTEP volleyball, I think you said it before, hasn't done in like forever?
It is awesome. Last year, we kind of had like our hashtag, like keep making history. And it is so like, it's, I don't know, empowering is like that the word for it. Like you feel really self-fulfilled, like that I'm a part of something that's doing all these great things. And I get to bring, you know, success to UTEP and the city of El Paso and have fun while doing it.
Last spring at the Golden Pick Awards, you were selected as the volleyball team most valuable player. What did that mean to you?
That was awesome. It meant everything. Like I put so much into this program and my skill and this team. And, you know, normally in volleyball, like the setter and the like libero aren't like the flashy players, you know, they don't score all the points like the hitters. And typically those awards go to a hitter. And so it's really, it feels awesome to be recognized for what I do on and off the court and awards thing like that.
You know, at the top of our podcast, I mentioned your fellow seniors, Serena, Paulina, Hula. How tight is your bond with them, and particularly with Serena?
Yeah, we're all pretty close. We talk a lot. Even especially the COVID season brought us all a lot closer because we could only hang out with each other. But Serena and I have been on a roller coaster together, you know, and we are extra close with just what we've dealt with, what we've seen, our experience. We're totally on the same page this year. We know what needs to be done, and we can just kind of like look at each other and we're like, okay, like we know exactly what we're thinking about. And she's great. She's grown a lot as a leader as well with me, and the two of us together really have a lot of control over what's going on.
Yeah, I would think just the satisfaction, the two of you in particular, of being such a big part of this program's turnaround.
Yes, I don't even have words. Like, it's crazy. I never thought we'd be here. And we talk about it all the time. Like, oh my goodness, like, look what we're doing now. Like, we're 10-2. And in 2018, we were just happy to win one match. Like,
and now you, every time you,
we're not satisfied with 10. Like, we wish it was 12, you know.
I would imagine every time you go out there now, you expect to win, don't you?
Yes, we do.
That's got to be a good feeling.
Brand new feeling. And it's a good one. Yeah.
Which of your teammates, maybe some of your younger teammates, have taken really big strides this year?
Some of the younger ones, I think Honda Yedish, the other setter, she has grown so much in her confidence as well. And we work really closely together. I would say probably closest on the team with the setters. We spend a lot of time together. And she does really well. She's finding her voice on the court, and she's going to need it, especially after her ago. And she's doing really well with that. Other leaders, Kennedy Howard, who's a redshirt junior. She is also, I'd say, one of our best leaders. And she has grown so much. She was there in 2018 as well. And, you know, she's somebody I definitely rely on and the team relies on. And she's a big part of who we are.
Let's go back a little bit, talking about your start in volleyball. When do you first remember playing volleyball, and what are some of the other things you you played when you were growing up in SoCal?
I started playing volleyball when I was 9. I was on like a little babies club team. That was fun. Growing up, I played basketball for a couple of years. Wasn't really into it, but it was fun. And then my other sport was soccer. I played soccer up until I was about 13. And then I gave it up to solely pursue volleyball, only because I was better at it. I didn't really like one over the other. I was just better at volleyball.
Of course, beach volleyball is now a collegiate sport, even though UTEP, at least at this point, doesn't sponsor it. Did you play a lot of beach volleyball in SoCal?
Oh, yes. From like 11s all the way up until probably about 15s, I played beach volleyball, and it was super fun. I stopped because I wanted to focus on indoor. And as you said, beach volleyball was like growing as a collegiate sport. And so it got really, really serious. And I was like, oh, I think I'll just stay with indoor. But it was super fun. And I loved doing that.
Would you like to see UTEP add beach volleyball?
I think it would be really cool. I wish they would have done it in my time, but yeah. They do it after, you know. More exposure for UTEP would be great. And I think beach volleyball is really growing and it could be really good.
Kristen, what's your major and when do you expect to graduate?
I'm majoring in public health with a minor in nutrition. And I'm hoping to graduate next May in 2022.
Now you'll have another year of eligibility if you want it. Will you take it?
The question is still up in the air. I'm on the fence, leaning more towards retirement because of my shoulder injury. I'm going to get surgery. And just based on how that recovery goes, will kind of dictate my final decision. But I'm happy and with my 4 years, and I've made peace with that. Maybe this is my last season.
You're three times a Conference USA academic medalist. Three times you've been named to the Conference USA academic honor roll. How significant is all of that to you?
You know, with so much volleyball going on, you don't quite focus on the school awards, but I'm proud of myself. I mean, being a D1 student athlete is hard. Like, we're on the road. Just coming next week, we'll travel 4 weeks in a row, and getting your school done is no easy task. And so, you know, I'm proud of myself. My mom is especially proud of my school awards. She's more focused on that. But it means a lot, you know, just that I know I can do it. And it helps me think about, like, okay, when I graduate, I'll be able to juggle a lot of stuff because I've already done it.
With all the video, we talked about all the video you watch. With all of that, has coaching ever entered your mind? Is that something you might like to do down the road?
It has. In high school, I helped coach some club teams, and I'm looking to do that in the spring here in El Paso. Possibly if I am done playing volleyball, I'm going to look to be a graduate assistant coach and get that experience, because I love coaching. When we had all our UTEP summer camps with the high schoolers and younger girls, I loved it. I worked every single camp, and my feet hurt, my legs hurt, but I wanted to be there. And it's definitely on my mind. It's something that I would consider.
Ultimately, what level would you like to coach at, or does it even really matter?
I don't know if I would want to coach like school volleyball too much, but if I did, I would probably start with high school and possibly move up. I don't know. I'm not good at quite the politics of volleyball yet, so I have to ease my way into that.
So as we're taping this, the Miners have one non-league match remaining at UT Rio Grande Valley prior to the start of Conference USA play. That's on October 2nd against Rice in Houston. What do the Miners need to do to keep the good times going and sharpen up prior to the start of league play?
We just need to continue to do what we're doing. We've kind of in the last two tournaments, like, lost our identity a bit, and, you know, had to fight to get it back. And so against UTRGV, we really need to prove that we can keep our confidence and we still have it. And we're going to need it to go up against Rice. I mean, some of us are already, me, are preparing for Rice, watching them. And they're, you know, what I've got my sights on come October 2nd. And we just keep sticking together as a team and proving, like, what we can do and making sure that we don't fall down. Or if we do, we get back up right away, not a match or two later, just right then.
And eventually you'll get a chance to play another match in Memorial Gym, won't you?
Hopefully soon, yeah. I think October 8th and 9th, we play right. UAB.
Yeah.
And that'll be a good game too.
You mentioned conference championship. Exactly how far do you believe this minor team can go this year? Is this an NC2A tournament team?
I believe so. Even if we don't get that goal of the conference championship, if we continue to beat everybody else in our conference and we can hold our RPI high enough to get an at-large bid, I think that is still an obtainable goal. But yes, I'm expecting to, and I hope we do.
Well, Kristen, I've enjoyed it. Hope you have as well. Thanks for sharing your thoughts on UTEP volleyball. Stay healthy. Continued best of luck to you and the Miners as the season continues. And yes, we will see you in Memorial Gym. How's that?
Yes, we will. Thank you so much for having me. I had a great time.
And thank you for listening to the Picks Up Podcast, the UTEP Athletics production. Stay well, Picks Up, and go Miners. Let's talk again next time on another Picks Up podcast.